Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today, I sort of begged Cindy, let's explore the world of ratings, of top 10 lists, of scorecards and points and all of these evaluation
things. Well, there's so many different ways.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, and there's no consistency from one to the other. So, you know, I love it when people say, oh, that's a 5-star restaurant. And you just think, well, in whose rating? Because there's so many different systems, and they all have different protocols.
Is there even a system? Is there even a protocol?
I hope it comes down to that each rating system does have some sort of protocol.
And this is not us being jaded and having been in the restaurant business.
No, but it's interesting to think about.
It's totally interesting to think about, and it's something that I think consumers in general, they get excited in the sort of publicity streams of these rating things, the Pellegrino top restaurants in the world list, mm-hmm. or the, you know, at the end of talking about some of these things, we want to spend a little bit of time talking about our favorite 10 dishes and favorite 10 wines, but we will actually explain the evaluation system that we use.
You mean our personal ones.
Very clearly,
yes.
Our personal ones. It's the only thing that's possible, don't you think?
Exactly. Well, and that's it. I mean, in the end, it comes down to it's someone's opinion. And hopefully that person's knowledgeable, or at least, you know, isn't just
a
capable writer, but...
And they're knowledgeable of exactly what you're trying to achieve, of exactly what's best in that market at that moment.
Yeah, I think that's what's
hard. Of exactly what the cuisine is that you're chasing.
Mm-hmm.
But I often wonder about this sort of thing, because it has to be a subjective process,
mm-hmm.
regardless of all the boxes that have to be checked to pass hurdles for different ratings and different systems. There has to be subjective things in the process. Do you like the way the person at the door looked at you? Did you read their mind correctly and read it as hostile? Or is it they're being very attentive? If you're from a different culture,
translate the same way. We all know that.
I know with experience for me, I've had to learn very different behaviors than were natural to me 20 years ago.
Sure.
To try to prove that I was pleased that someone had arrived, as opposed to somehow angry because I'd be too crisp, you know, because
habits. You're trying to be efficient.
How I grew up. I mean, that's...
Right.
You know, that's... And the world changes. And so... But you get someone on the wrong foot. We know from the business. You get someone on the wrong foot. You get negative momentum. The first dish is not something that they love.
It's usually downhill from there.
Yeah.
That first moment is unbelievably important.
But it would be very interesting to know what they're instructed.
Sure.
This is obviously a gigantic, total open invitation to all of the inspectors out there for the Forbes Travel Guide or the Michelin Guide or any of the travel services. Please come on air with us sometime. And even...
Well, that would be amazing. I would love to hear
maybe,
their process.
And maybe even come for a live program and we'll take some calls and...
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know from meeting with some of the AAA folks when they come over the years that they're very straightforward in what they tell you that they rate and what they check off. You know, and it's a very pragmatic sort of ground-up system that they have, right down to what is the wear level on the upholstery on a chair and things like that, you know, that
mm-hmm.
has to be back to like the Hilton hotels in the 1960s or something, you know. Where Connie Hilton was going around, you know, driving his people nuts with all the little evaluation things and when they had to be refreshed and all this kind of stuff. But now, so tell me about some of the other rating services. What do they say their standards are?
You know, I think with Michelin Guide is probably the one that's the clearest, and they have 3 stars. I'm going to read the Michelin stars defined from the guide itself. A 1-star is a good place to stop on your journey, indicating a very good restaurant in its category, offering cuisine prepared to a consistently high standard. So that's their requirements for a 1-star.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
In its category. So are the categories, is it French, Lebanese, Chinese, burger joint?
Right.
The question is, how are the prejudices canting the ratings? Please go. What's a 2-star?
2 stars is a restaurant worth a detour, indicating excellent cuisine and skillfully and carefully crafted dishes of outstanding quality. And then 3-star is a restaurant worth a special journey, indicating exceptional cuisine where diners eat extremely well, often superbly. Distinctive dishes are precisely executed using superlative ingredients. So that's 1, 2, and 3.
And they never say anything about the interiors of the restaurants. And they never say anything about the cellar in the restaurant.
As far as requirements?
As far as, well, how do they actually base their ratings? They only talk about the cooking, which is great, but you've been into many 2- and 3-star Michelin restaurants.
I have.
How many of them are in plain spaces?
None of them.
Right?
No, so they're all very beautiful restaurants.
There has to be a variety of other criterion that...
Oh, sure.
That exists.
Well, we know. We've been eating in France for almost 20 years, or over 20 years, actually, at this point, and we've watched 1-stars go to 2, 2 to 3. And you know what has happened. I mean, Carré de Fouillon is a perfect example of we ate there when it was a 2-star, and, you know, actually when it was a 1-star, pardon me, and then it became a 2-star. And the difference in the cellar, I mean, we both watched the changes that occurred. They changed their interior design.
But his cooking is exactly the same. The dishes are pretty much exactly the same, except he was trying to present them in a more modern way. It's almost funny, like, you to have the same dish in the same season, and then 2 years later to have that dish and have it just presented it in a totally different way. But the content is exactly the same. I mean, for whether it's the chef, the restaurateur, maybe it's the same person or a family, what are their feelings about?
It's so important. And their businesses depend on the stars so much. I mean, it's so reliant on that, particularly in France. And, I mean, they're just under so much pressure. It has to be tremendous responsibility. It's a financial commitment.
That's the crazy thing.
Second or third star.
Imagine someone taking the bank loan out to redo their interior in some crazy way.
Right.
Redoing the entire thing. And then you hang on to that 2nd star or 3rd star for X amount of time. And the business actually begins to pay back some of that loan, and then that star goes away.
That's scary. Because that's tremendous pressure.
Is that because fashion
under.
Has changed? Is it because you picked the wrong interior designer?
It also makes your business, and it's not only obviously we're sort of saying a negative, but it's also a very positive. If you're a 3-star, you're golden, pretty much. And so that's just, it's an amazing thing.
Unless people start saying a lot of negative things about you.
Right. I don't know. It's just, it's hard.
There's an awful lot of, the endorsement thing is so big. I mean, I'll have guests that come in and want to drink a bottle of wine because it has 99 points. Because someone says it has 99 points. And they'll be drinking it and acting like it is the best tasting thing they've ever had. Which it might be. But sometimes it might be a giant Cabernet with a trout dish, and I know the trout is offending the wine, and I know the wine is offending the trout, and if they're even in the same room together, they're not going to get along. And I know that there are people that say, well, they don't care about how food and wine pairs up together. I think that is part of the point of the whole table, and it's, I don't know, those things are funny. The power of endorsement from some sort of, quote-unquote reputable source. And I'm sure that the Michelin inspectors are incredibly qualified, but I'm sure that they're human as well. I'm sure that they have a lot of feelings. There's power in the position, but there's not, you don't get notoriety from the position. So really, outcomes and results are the only way that you can feel you had an effect, right?
Yeah, because they're incognito.
So, I mean, I don't know that any retired Michelin inspectors ever written an expose on what they do.
Boy, that would be interesting. Yeah, I think it's just the whole thing of what someone says, well, that's a 5-star restaurant. And I just, what does that mean? Right.
Yeah.
Five stars from whom? I guess a lot of industries have to deal with, this sort of reviewing. I mean, if you're doing a Broadway show we all have to.
I guess the theater is probably the number one for purely subjective because it's how you're taking it in. So it is like having a meal in a place.
Well, I think the other thing that's changed so much is now that with social media and the impact of social media, that the professional reviewers like, Michelin or Forbes or AAA, that those companies, you know, how have they been affected by all the social media and all the reviews that are online and you know, all the people can, are, you know, are able to give their points versus, you know, the professional groups. And that, that has to make a very big difference for their industry. And I wonder how that has affected, you know, all of those groups.
Yeah, I think we have to distinguish three different things. You have groups that put out these lists or these, you know, these ratings lists.
That, like Pellegrino, you
that,
mean?
Yeah, that purport themselves as, and Michelin and mm-hmm. Forbes, that purport themselves as somehow professionally organized to get this information together and across.
Mm-hmm.
And then criticism, you know, like a food critic, like a wine critic, like a theater reviewer,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's a one-person show and you're listening to this person's voice, and that's a little bit different to me. Like if I know that such and such a wine reviewer writes something positive about this consistently, I've hated everything he's ever liked.
Well, that's it.
So I know not to buy it.
In that way, it's going to be the proof is in the pudding because it's one person.
But it's literally your relationship to that person's
palate.
Right,
exactly. So you're going to read the review.
Opinion.
Mm-hmm, and they're going to be very clear about what their review is. And then you're going to go eat or drink or whatever.
But that becomes
or go to the show and say, well, this is awesome. That person is so right. Or
yeah, but that becomes your relationship to the writer. When it comes to formal restaurants, they're right on. When it comes to casual restaurants, they kind of miss it.
Or maybe a certain category
of
cooking or something, yeah.
But
that's very interesting.
But it's your relationship to that reviewer is very different from something that purports itself to be expert.
Right.
In absolutism.
Yes.
Over you know, an entire industry.
And then the third category are people and their opinions.
Is the world and, mm-hmm. and how random that can be and how oddly motivated that can be and how...
No,
you know, without giant data points, that's a really difficult thing.
That's a huge change in our business. You know, the social media aspect, and I mean, it affects everything from the way we advertise.
Well, it's a huge change in everyone's business.
Yeah, well, true, everyone's business, absolutely.
That's for certain. But there are three places for people to look mm-hmm. for information. I think, and those are the three places.
Well, and I think if people think about it that way, it's from a more you know that helps them to consider. Well, okay, this is this kind of review, and as long as you're keeping that in perspective, I think that's probably really helpful to have all those you know opinions and in the end advice for people so they can make good decisions. I mean, if a meal's extremely expensive, it's a huge commitment for people, and that's understandable that they want to
if they want advice.
Sure, and absolutely.
When we come back on Formidable Fun Food and Wine, Cindy and I will spend a little bit more time on lists and points and ratings and exactly how that affects things when you want to choose a restaurant, when you want to choose a wine. And when we get down to it, we'll give a little of our own personal ratings on particular dishes and particular wines. Because I think in the end, it's hard for me to be absolute about anything but those sorts of things. You know, all of that and more when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine.